Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning. Following this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6, we have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs. Our TV programs are there, and a host of other Bible-related material that can aid you in your study of God's Holy Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the times of our regular worship service and Bible studies at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you in any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you know your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, we want to continue our series together, examining and answering the question, why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. This morning, I want to tell you one of the reasons that I'm a member of the Church of Christ is because it provides me a scriptural answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? What? The word suggests there's something required of man in being saved. Must? This word indicates that it's not a question of what I should or what I may do, but what I must do. It is not a matter of option. It's absolutely necessary of the requirement. It is not what God, Christ, or the Holy Spirit must do, but what I must do. We know that these have provided the means that one can be saved. God has done His part, now may I best do His part. No one can stand in for me, personal decision, personal action. Do. It is not what I must get, think, feel, or to believe. The word do suggests activity on the part of the one being saved. Salvation is not a matter of passiveness, but of activity. God saved, this is true, but man have no duty in the process? That's what many teach. Does the inspired word ever tell that there's nothing that they need to do to be accomplished, that they might be saved? Does the Bible say that? To be saved. The purpose of complying with these conditions, this phrase suggests that saving is done by another. But what must man do? And so we're going to answer the question, what must I do to be saved? And again, we have analyzed what the question means. Now, let's be sure of our answer. Turn and see what saith the Scriptures. Read the question and answer which is given. We find it asked four times. One time under the old law, and three times under the new law. The rich young man asked the Lord in Mark chapter 10, 16 through 22. Now as he was going on the road, one came running, knelt before him and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Mark 10, 17. The Mosaic law was still in force at the time Christ was upon the earth. It was the Jews' duty to keep it. He lacked one thing. He trusted in his riches. He went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions and was not willing to depart and separate from them. He intended to obey if it pleased him, if he accepted the conditions. Many want to be saved today on their own terms. The rich young ruler couldn't, and we cannot. The second one that we want to examine is the Jews on Pentecost. In Acts 2, the promise of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the apostles. Peter begins to preach the gospel, telling them that Christ was the one of the prophets spoke concerning. He was the Messiah. He was manifested for them by signs, wonders, that God had worked through him. He was now sitting on the throne of David, ruling and reigning. They had taken him and crucified the Prince of Peace. They were guilty of the murder of the Christ. Read Acts 2, 16 through 36. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:37. Notice when they heard this. What was this? This was the gospel. And what was the answer that Peter gave? The answer was, you don't have to do anything. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. No, that's not what Peter said. Peter said in Acts 2:38, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Why not tell them, why not told to believe? They already did. Baptism and repentance are equal in the sight of God. Both points to remission of sin. It is required more than faith. It requires a change of heart. Yet they still needed the blood of Christ. Read Colossians 2, 11 through 13. So here, on the day of Pentecost, the question was answered by repenting and being baptized in order to obtain remission of sin. And so that's the way the question was answered in the new covenant. Next, we looked at Saul of Tarsus. Saul, before he was known as Paul, was a persecutor of the church. According to Acts chapter 7, verse 58, he was the one that they laid their coats at their feet as they stoned the martyr Stephen. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 1 through 3, we see that he was causing havoc with the church. In chapter 9, in verse 1, we see that he was on his way to Damascus to buy men and women and to cast them into prison. We see in Acts 26, by his own account and by his own words, that he did many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, caused many to blaspheme him, and even cast them and put them in prison. And when they were put to death, he gave his voice in consent. And so here was a man who had lived in good conscience. It was clear, according to his own words in Acts 23, verse 1, but all of his actions, although he thought he was doing the will of God, was not working for God, it was working against God. But then he was on his way to the road of Damascus. But he went down that road as he traveled, a great light shined around him. And so he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said, "Arise and go into the city, and it will be told to you what you must do." Notice, Saul asked, "What must I do?" And the vision, the Lord said, to go into the city, and it would be told to him what he must do. Did he have faith? Yes, by his question, he had faith, because he asked, what must he do? Did he repent? According to Acts 9, 9 through 11, he spent 3 days in fasting and prayer. Was he saved yet? No. Why? Because Ananias hadn't come yet. Ananias was sent by God to go and talk to Saul. But Ananias had to be convinced, because he wasn't sure about Saul, because he knew of his reputation. He needed to have his sins washed away. In Acts 22, 16, recounting his own conversion, he says, "And why dost thou now tarry? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If faith, repentance, and a change of heart is all that matters, why have Ananias talk with him? If there's nothing that man has to do, why did he need to go into Damascus? He believed. He asked the Lord what he should do. Why didn't the Lord tell him nothing? All you have to do is have faith. That didn't happen. He was told to go into Damascus, and his praying and his fasting didn't save him. And the Lord appearing in the great light didn't save him. And it didn't save him because he believed in God. He was saved when he followed the instruction by Ananias, and he was baptized into Christ. Now, the next one we want to look at is the Philippian jailer. This jailer was an unbeliever. How do we know? Because in verse 30 it says that he brought them out and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In Acts 16:30. He was going to take his own life, thinking that the prisoners had all escaped. And since Roman law, he was responsible, his life would be taken for theirs. Paul stopped him, told him to do himself no harm, for they were all here. Therefore, he fell trembling, called for light, and he asked a question. What must he do to be saved? Verse 31 and 32 says, "So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all that were in his house," Acts 16, 31 through 32. Why tell him to believe? He needed faith. How was he going to get it? This is why they spoke the word of the Lord to him. Faith is accomplished by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. He repented. How do I know? He washed their stripes and gave them food to eat, Acts 16, 33 through 34. And he and his family were immediately baptized that very night, Acts 16, verse 33. Again, we see a much different answer than those who give answer to this question today. Now, we have three different answers to the same question. The jailer was an unbeliever. He needed faith and teaching. The people of Pentecost already believed Peter's, but they needed Peter's preaching to to understand what they had done to the Lord. Saul was a believing and a penitent man. He had had a vision. He was fasting and praying, but he was still told to be baptized. Why the different answers? Well, the reason that each man and each situation is given a different answer, because they were at different places on the road to salvation. You see, they took from where they were and led them to where they needed to go. Yet all had to travel the same road. Man must comply with all the terms of pardon. Yet in each case of obedience, they all may be at different places in their understanding and in their knowledge of their responsibility. In these answers, we see the scriptural answer for the question concerning man's obedience. When we look at these conversions, and there are others conversions, five other ones in the book of Acts, when we put them all together, here's what we learn. Man must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 tells him that's how faith is produced in his life. He must believe what he's heard. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. But he must repent. That's what they were told to do on the day of Pentecost. They were told to repent. That means to change your mind. That results in a change of conduct. And then in Romans 10, 9 and 10, we believe with the heart, but with the mouth, with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We give our allegiance and submit our life under the Lord. And then we are baptized. Jesus said himself in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. 1 Peter 3:21, Scripture says, in like figure wherein baptism does now also save us. Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 13, is called spiritual circumcision, a burial that buries us into the death of Christ. You see, the same author of the first four also stated the fifth. Can one be left out? Can we leave out any of the five conditions that the Scriptures established in order how to be saved? No, we can't. Now, in conclusion this morning, I want you to remind you of what we examined. We examined the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? In all the answers, the recipients, the three recipients of the New Testament, they were at different places, but all of them were required to do something in order to obtain the forgiveness of sin and salvation of their soul. And at the end, we've examined by putting all the conversions together that man must hear the word of God, he must believe what he's heard, he must repent of his sin, acknowledge his sinfulness, turn away from that sin, go in a different direction. He must confess that he believed Jesus is the Son of God, he is the Christ, he was the Messiah, and that he will submit his life and do his will instead of his own. And then he must humbly submit to baptism in order to contact the blood of Christ that has the ability to wash away his sin, as we read in Acts 22:16, as you can also read in Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7. One of the reasons that I'm a member of the Church of Christ is that they have the scriptural answer given from the scripture in how a man obtains salvation. What about it, dear friend? What did you do to obtain your salvation? Did you follow the answers of scripture? Did you follow the answers of the Holy Spirit? Did you do the things that God gave as terms and conditions in order to obtain salvation? If not, why not? We encourage you to reread and study the book of Acts, and you will see these answers for yourself. Thank you for listening today. We hope you'll tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue to give you a message of truth. Have a blessed day.